Lowe's sabe que a todos nos gusta ahorrar, especialmente en esta temporada. Por eso escogimos deals buenísimos para Early Black Friday. Obtén gratis una herramienta selecta DeWalt, Cobalt o Craftsman al comprar una batería o un kit selecto. También tenemos árboles de Navidad preiluminados selectos desde $59.98, porque nunca es muy pronto para poner el arbolito. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Hasta agotar existencia, selección varía por lugar.
The Hard Shoulder, with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Scanxiety or scananxiety is something that many cancer survivors will understand, but how do you deal with the worry in the days leading up to the scan? Well, joining me now is Professor Seamus O'Reilly, consultant medical oncologist at Cork University Hospital, and Brendan Kelly, professor of psychiatry at Trinity College Dublin. You're both very welcome to the programme. To come to you first, Seamus, many people who will have successfully gone through cancer treatment will be hoping, okay, that's it, draw a line under it, move on with my life. But the reality is that many of those people will face scanning for years, perhaps, to come afterwards. How common then is scanxiety among those group of patients?
So it's almost universal, I think, among patients. According to the, that's my clinical impression, but also the impression from the literature as well, from the medical literature. So the anxiety can relate to the time coming up to the scan, but more importantly, really waiting for the results of the scan, because you feel your life is in the hands of this scan result, and sometimes the scan isn't, the results aren't straightforward. We can find things, not everything we see on a scan is of concern. There are things called leave me alone lesions on scans, which are ones which are basically abnormalities that won't cause any problem for the lifetime of the patient. And sometimes it can take time to sort out with scans whether, you know, the significance of findings. There can also be challenges with scans being done in multiple places, because you need to compare scans between different scans that are done at different time points. And if they're on different machines and different systems, that delays the final report. And that can lead, leads to tremendous anxiety for people.
And there will also, of course, be healthcare delays with appointments who've been postponed or perhaps cancelled, which I'd imagine really does exacerbate the anxiety further.
Yes. I mean, the demand for imaging in our hospitals is increasing by 6% a year, and the number of machines that we have and the resources and staffing we have is not matching that. There is outsourcing now to the private sector for general practitioners and also for the hospitals. So that helps, but the demand is greater than the resourcing that's there. We have protocols about who needs scans and who doesn't need scans, because it's important, you know, when we scan, there's a radiation exposure with it. And if people don't need the scan to be done, it's very important that it's not done. And equally, by the same token, if someone needs a scan, it's important that the scan resourcing is available for them.
So it sounds to me, Seamus, like it is something that the medical profession formally recognises and discusses.
Yes, I think there's awareness of how challenging, there's a very significant awareness of how challenging this is for patients when they're waiting for results, when the scans have been done in different places. I guess our hope, our aspiration would be that with the new European health regulation, that we all need a medical, an electronic health record by 2030. That's EU law. That some centralization of our imaging will occur as part of that process. I mean, we all have electronic health records with our general practitioners, but we don't have it in the hospital sector. And that one solution will be that, you know, if you think of a patient, that we think of a cloud, but if every patient had their own cloud where all of their information related to their care was present, and that would make it much easier for all of the information to be gathered together, that the fragmentation would stop, and that it would make it much easier to compare and contrast scans, and would make scan anxiety less for patients and also for people who are looking after them.
Speaking of those, Brendan, we've had a text in. When my mum was battling cancer and going for scans, the whole family were anxious and worried, says this texter. I know that I wouldn't sleep for days thinking about it. From a psychological point of view, what makes, I suppose, this form of anxiety different from other types?
Well, this is different to other kinds of anxiety because of the worry that there truly is a reason for it. Some anxiety has no reason at all, but in this case, arguably, there is something that is possible, you know, that possibly deserves being worried about. There's a few things people can do. It is very important to acknowledge anxiety is normal in this circumstance. That is absolutely vital, and to name it and reduce its power in that way. The other useful technique is to focus on the purpose of the scan and to reframe it as a checkup or a follow-up of self-care, not necessarily a threat, and that can be helpful. And then, as Seamus has said, the health system could do better here, particularly with a more streamlined process. And also, I have to say, direct communication with patients and families, being honest, being clear and being direct is never the wrong course of action when someone is trying to navigate this anxious landscape.
I mean, I know Seamus said there, look, a lot of times people go from scans and, you know, they don't get the news that they want. But you say it is worth trying to remember that there are a lot of positive stories out there, that a lot of people who are being scanned in a follow-up after having cancer, the answers are reassuring in the end.
Absolutely they are. And this applies not just to people who have a diagnosis of something, but also to screening scans like the bowel screening program, breath check, cervical check, that these, you know, engaging in these and not putting them off, these are all acts of self-care. They're about maintaining wellness and about identifying problems before they become problems. So these are all steps towards positive health rather than, you know, things to be necessarily anxious about. Lots of other good advice is to avoid what if thinking. In other words, constantly reflecting on the worst possible outcome, or indeed the best one, and simply noting that the scan is coming up and trying to sort of stick to normal activities as best as possible, you know, and bringing support along. You know, if a family member or a friend offers to come along or to wait in the car outside, saying yes to that, you know, that is a good thing. And it is very valuable for both people to be part of that. And most of all, communicating directly to your doctor. People worry about things that are literally unrelated to the test at hand, things that are impossible. So direct communication both ways is very important for reducing anxiety.
Seamus, do you worry about people putting off things like cervical check or getting your smear test or going through bowel check because of the anxiety that people feel around the potential for bad results?
Yes, certainly I would echo all of Brendan's comments. But I think that if you look at why these things are done, cervix check, mammographic screening, is because they save lives. There are studies that show, and because we pick things up early, and because we pick things up early, less treatment is needed ultimately. The outcome is better long-term for the patient. The distress that the patient might experience with more invasive procedures or more difficult treatments is less. In England, they did a study where they looked at what if you didn't do screening for cervix cancer. And they compared a group of people where it wasn't done versus in England where it was done, introduced in the 1980s. And what they found was that it reduced cancer mortality by 80%. And if we look at it, it's probably one of the most effective interventions in cancer medicine. Is screening for cervix cancer. And now, of course, we are looking at preventing cervix cancer because we're vaccinating our children in the schools. And we know from huge studies done in Sweden with over 1 million people that early vaccination prevents cancers later on. So as Brendan outlined, this is part of self-care. These are very evidence-based things that will improve patient outcome, reduce patient suffering, reduce treatment, and lead to a much better quality of life overall long-term.
Brendan, there'll be people listening today who I know are supporting families and friends going through these scans, that waiting period for results, and lots of texts coming in from listeners who are full of anxiety and because they're in that position. What can you do as a family or friend member to be supportive?
Well, the first thing that you can do is talk to your family, talk to your friends, talk to people who are going through this. Uptake of screening is actually quite high. So let's say you've been invited for something like cervical screening. Around 78% of people take that up. So if you are anxious, you talk to your friend, you talk to your similarly aged relative, and you talk through it. And that is really helpful because the information is good, but there's nothing like a personal connection to someone who has gone through similar scans or similar processes for reassurances and for really understanding that this is not something to be feared, but something to be done in the interests of promoting your own health.
Okay, Professor Seamus O'Reilly and Brendan Kelly, lots of good advice in what you both said there. Thank you for speaking to us.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.